Hey.
I will do this manually.
5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Everybody, welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is the divine and the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, Goldie. Hello, everybody. It's funny because I started off the show feeling tired, and then I listened to that song, and I'm smiling, and that's my son. Anyone who's listening, that's my son, Zach Kimmel, and he gave us permission last week. It's brand new, never been heard in public, and it was really fun to just hear it again because it was a week ago that uh, we we premiered it.
Yeah, no, so, it's a fantastic song. It's a
isn't it so beautiful?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And it's a beauty that, I mean, I feel it inside. You know, it's like that. It's the shine from within.
It comes through. And I just wanted to say that he's become a dear friend of Zach's, but this wonderful man, George Kerr, who actually wrote and produced that and has brought something out in Zach's voice. Zach was a great singer before, but since he's been working with George, who's a true professional and really like goes for the excellence in a singer,
okay,
Zach's voice has just, you know, gotten 50 times better, and it's heard in all his songs, and so I can't wait to share all of Zach's music with everybody. And today I've been listening to like 6 songs that I'm privileged to hear, and this is one of them, and they're just so good.
I'll tell you, as your partner and co-host and friend, I'm so glad they're so good.
I know, because I'm his mother, but, I'm well aware of the fact that, you're going to love your son's songs, but they are...
No, they're beautiful.
They're
soulful. And the truth is, there's soul in his songs, and you know me and love, we're all about the soul. That's what we're about on the Mystical Mother Earth Show. It's all about soul. So,
yeah, it is soul music and rhythm and blues and soul, and the two producers that he is working with is Paul Kaiser's the other one. These men are the real deal. They're the real soul. They really are. They're from the time when the soul was just coming in, and you can feel it in their songs. And so, and then Zach delivers, and they've been a great collaboration.
Well,
so,
and as soon as this is available, Janine will let everybody know, whether it's iTunes or however he's distributing. We'll definitely let you know, where to find the music. So
definitely
stay tuned for that.
Can't wait. And whenever he's going to play live somewhere.
Indeed.
That'll be fun.
Indeed. Yes. Well, just so everybody knows, for those of you in the New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey area, we have a standing date that Zach is going to play at the Apollo in Harlem.
Yes, that's my vision. And
that's my vision. And
I think I think he's got the clout to do it.
You think? Hello? I know. You know. I know. We know. We will be there. We will have a party at the Apollo. So
we welcome the listeners
in the area to join us. Just holding the space and waiting for it to manifest. That's what we do around here.
That's what we do around here. And no, it's so true because, on that Facebook page of the Yawning Rabbit River, the extraordinary moment for me in 2012 was just in December, just as 2012 was, coming to its closure, where I got to read in Ireland the book I was inspired by the beautiful place. And it was like a manifestation of a dream, a creative dream. And Zach's music is the same thing, and it's funny because as long as I've been working on that book, Zach's been working on his music and of this. And so, it's kind of fun that
the
timing,
right, kind of going metabolically together.
So it's fun, and we'll be definitely sharing any of that. So
cool, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what? Here we are, January 7th, 2013, and I think the question begs to be asking, how's everybody holding up there? How you doing?
Doing good. I feel like alert, stable, but in deep. I feel, kind of that word I use a lot, which is sober, which is just that, it's like I'm like the, I don't know, it's like, it's not like an exuberance. It's just this, steadiness, but deep. even just before the phone call, like I was like, man, I feel so deep. I hope I can talk. You know, I get in those places where you go somewhere that, and it's not a bad place. It's just this deep place. And then, you know, I'm always so happy when you go to share that you can.
You know, I'm very happy about that. Yes, indeed.
No, but do you know what I mean?
No, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's very interesting, this journey that I'm on, because deep does not necessarily mean quantity. Like, you know, it's you don't shout from the rooftops in deep.
It's very, remember that word I used? It was pensive and,
too. It's so deeply personal.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's not depressed, it's not any of those things, it's just deep.
Well, and I would say, I would go as far to say that it has darkness elements to it, but that's not a negative.
Yeah, no, you know? No, it can even have rivers of sadness, it can have rivers
not at all,
because I know, you know, talking about creative dreams and manifestations, those do not occur unless you're feeling it all. I mean, you know, you gotta go where the creativity takes you, and it always, you know, includes the unknown, the sad, the
whole spectrum.
Yeah, the world
whole
is just
spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, and you know, because I would kind of, you know, I want to share that tonight, because, you know, me and Janine were kind of giggling earlier this afternoon, that, you know, I get it that me and Janine get a little repetitive. But here's the interesting thing about being repetitive from, mm-hmm. like, the verbal point of view. And I'm speaking literally in my first person. This is my experience. Sharing with you guys week after week where I'm at, the words might be the same, but by golly, the experiences are not. You know, my awareness, because, like, I was thinking about this a lot this past week, because it's a very interesting game, so to speak, that when I need to integrate a shadow side of myself, I'm definitely learning to, you know, do the dance of sit in it. Don't resist it. Don't push it away. And most importantly, what I've been learning for the last week, don't go into my addiction to push it away. Because that's what I can see that I've been doing that. And what's so interesting is, so I'm going through these awarenesses, which are becoming tremendously acute. I mean, I'm becoming acutely aware of the subtleties happening in my life. And when I share them with Janine, or if I share them with Alana, it's wonderful, because they can feel what I'm saying, because there's a nuance to saying it that, you know, by no means am I complaining when I'm aware that I'm not feeling as deeply as I'd like to feel. But there is a sense of, okay, but I'm aware that I'm not feeling as deeply as I can feel, so, and my goal is to feel deeply. So what needs to get done? And it's so funny, because everything happens so polarized. Because what I'm finding this week is, okay, so on the New Year's Eve show, it became very clear to me that when Janine shared her amazing intentions, what she shared, you know, the first part of her intention, of her gratitude for me in her life, there was an edge to me that I went mental when she said that. You know, my words might have said, oh, that's so beautiful, but I did not feel that to the depth that I could have. And that was last week's awareness of, okay, I'm not feeling joy. And then there was some difficulties that I was going through with a friend of mine who is what I call a trigger friend, a friend who, you know, beautifully triggers me. But I was not feeling the pain of a scruff, you know, a verbal scruff that we had gotten into. And I was like, the awareness started coming clear to me. It's like, you know, to be quite honest, everything I was saying about my friend, which was, you're a hypocrite, you let your addictions run your life, you're in your mind and you're not in your heart and your body and you're not feeling, all became abundantly clear. I was speaking to myself. I mean, the bottom line, what he was showing me was clearly all about me. And the thing that really got me most hooked was that I didn't feel Janine's intention to the depth that I wanted to feel. It was like, you know, because, you know, on some level, it's easy to slide over not feeling crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that you're not feeling the jubilance, you know, I mean, I could feel I wasn't feeling, you know, your incredible share. And that really, I was like, you're missing it, Goldie. You're missing it. So get on, you know, your horse, or on some level, get off your horse. and do what needs to be done. And what was clear to me, and I'm still in the midst now, is addictions. I really want, you know, I'm going to share with you, you know, my addiction, and I have no shame around this, none whatsoever. What I do want to share, and I hope nobody else, don't have shame around your addictions. God knows, we are so programmed to be on a certain path. Don't feel bad when you wake up and find yourself on that path. You know, that's what I would call an inefficient use of your own energy.
Mm.
Awareness is simply the ability to now take your energy and consciously place it so that you can obtain the goal. Because the addiction is like the unconscious redirection of what we want. So, in simple terms, what I'm clear is, I have an addiction to talking on the telephone. When something goes haywire in my life, I like to talk about it. And I mean, this goes way beyond me being on the air. Since I was 12 years old, you know, my mom would come into the room and go, you know, that thing is growing out of your ear. I mean, I can remember speaking to a guy on the telephone who I had never met before for, like, I don't know, like 37 hours straight. We're on a mission. But I've always felt a comfort zone talking on the phone, and because it's not that all talking on the telephone is my addiction, but it's where I go and what I do when something dark wants to come back home. Yeah. Basically, where it's time for me to stop talking and feel. And
yeah,
it was really interesting, because as I was going through that this week, you know, because again, the polarity, the way the universe works is so brilliant. I had a dream last week. Well, I won't say a dream. I'm going to call it an experience, because I actually woke up and had the experience, so it's not a dream. 1 o'clock in the morning, I think it was last Thursday night, I woke up and had a blue energy experience. I truly don't know what it was, other than the best way to describe it was I was zapped with a blue energy that was, I could physically hear and feel the buzz, the vibration of this energy. And for like a split moment, I had a tremendous amount of clarity. And then it was kind of, it was gone, but intuitively I went, okay, well, that was something. You know, like, I didn't know what it was, but, you know, of course, I went to two places. First, I was like, okay, that was an upgrade. But then as my mind started, you know, kicking into gear, I went into, oh, no, you were scanned, or mm-hmm. I was scanned. And so, you know, I played with both, and in my humble opinion, there was an upgrade. And, you know, if you say, well, who was the source of this blue energy? I have no idea. I really have no idea.
Maybe you were. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? I don't know.
Absolutely. No, that really, right. That could be. All I know is I don't have fear around it.
Right.
And I believe it was connected to my intention, because I can tell you that the people that I speak to in my own circle, myself, Janine, Dennis, all of us that set intentions, like within 24 hours, were discussing it, and you know, it was like our intentions were so prevalent in our experiences that. And one of the things that I had said in my intentions was that, you know, I'm open to the darkness and the shadow, you know, integrating in me for, you know, to bring me back into wholeness. And what's so interesting is between the blue light energy flash and my incessant nature since, I'd say, the last 3 weeks, of really diving into some dark spaces. Anybody that follows me on Facebook knows lately I've been posting, you know, stuff between the Newtown shootings and MK Ultra and mind control. I've been posting a lot of stuff about the Clintons, Max Egan's work, which he's very, he speaks very frankly about the state of being that the planet's in. But from a state that I would call a clear state of neutrality, mm-hmm. And I kind of, no, I'm not even gonna say kind of. I know that there's a true purpose for me to be going into these spaces, and you know, what I can say from the best of my knowledge right now is, When I energetically allow myself to explore, oh no, I'm going to say it, Janine said it best. Discovery only happens when you enter a space. Oh. And I know in my heart, and again, this is, I'll speak for myself, I truly believe this is the truth for everyone, but I don't know if everyone believes it's the truth for them. But this is, I believe it's the truth for everyone. In other words, this isn't just Goldie's personal truth. This is absolute truth. That we must be willing to take back in the side of our creations that were, I mean, basically dark. That the places where we created pain and we created separation, and we created, you know, we put into the illusion, and when I say the illusion, meaning to kill somebody. In my humble opinion, from a soul's point of view, that's an illusion. You can kill a body, you can't kill a soul. So that's what I mean by illusion. And all those things that we've created throughout the myriad of lifetimes that we've had, and I'll just speak for myself. When it's time to ascend, and I mean literally first, second, third, and fourth dimension, when you no longer want to play in the habitat of the first, second, third, or fourth dimension, everything you created in those dimensions when you were coming into those dimensions needs to come back, because it's you can't leave parts of ourselves scattered around the cosmos and these multidimensionally. It's so funny because that's part of the intelligence of, you know, we wouldn't want to graduate like schizophrenics, you know, which, you know, in the sense of, you know, or multiple personalities. And here's the irony. And yet schizophrenia and multiple personality is absolutely part of wholeness. You know, it's so, you know, if you're afraid of it, then it still has a, you know, a hand over you. But when you integrate the parts of us that are, you know, paranoid, when we integrate the parts of us that are mean and nasty and just dark and you know, ugly, there is a transmutation of our experiences. And I know this, and knowing this and experiencing this, I know I've said this several times, is a very different space.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to share with everybody is that when you do know it, you know, you start seeing belief systems. You're going to flip them. And, like, one of the main belief systems I noticed this past week connected to the past 3 weeks, which I've been in a very dark space for the past 3 weeks, is instant gratification does not apply when you are integrating shadow work. Because as much as you want it, and myself included, as much as I wanted to, you know, all right, you know, beat the crap out of me and be done with it, the integration, it doesn't work that way. And it's not supposed to work that way, because that really is part of the journey coming down. The journey coming up is very much, it's steeped in the virtues. And the virtues are created, like, the virtues know that pain creates character and suffering creates compassion. That is not a coincidence that these virtues know this. So, you know, when people share, oh, Goldie, you know, you're always repeating yourself. Well, because I am committed on this journey to ascend. And this doesn't happen overnight. You know, I share with you week after week the darkness I go through, because week after week I'm going through darkness. But what I, you know, my goal is to share it as the darkness that propels me into wholeness, not the darkness that screams for relief, because the truth is I'm definitely nurturing myself. I mean, being in the warm water in the steam room, all incredibly beneficial, having Janine as, you know, as someone I can, you know, share my fears with and my anxieties with, totally beneficial. But the addictions, no, not so beneficial. And the thing that's insidious about the addictions is, you know, it's one thing if you're addicted to drugs or alcohol or even sex, which I've been addicted basically to all of those. They're so mainstream where, you know, you got to get help. You got to get help, and you do inevitably. You know, after 12 years of being a drug addict and a sex addict, it's like, okay, I'm losing my marbles. I need to get help. But talking on the telephone is one of my addictions, and so who's going to police me on that? You know, what AT&T? You know, sorry, you've been talking on the telephone too much. You know, I mean, it's like it.
Or how about this? You've been talking on the phone, and that's avoidance, and now you can't, you're
right.
Avoiding something, so you should hang up now.
Well, and I'll be honest, see, and what Janine just said is, that is the voice of reason, but the only one that's going to give that to me
exactly
is me.
Yeah.
And so what I'm starting to experience as I go deeper, because it's funny, ascension, remember the polarities I talked about. Ascension, you don't just go higher without simultaneously going deeper, because mm-hmm. everything in polarity happens on both ends. And what I'm finding is I am becoming my own voice, my own police, so to speak, and my own I'll say it even better, my voice of consciousness is me.
Yeah, and your voice of awareness.
And my voice, and I've never felt so in good hands as I do right now. I mean,
that's
it's
good.
Well, and it's very, you would go, but wait, you're in your, you know, you really kind of experience a lot of darkness right now, and it's like, yeah, but I'm aware, and it's me, you know. Maybe you can help explain.
Yeah, I wanted to say something that, you know, and it doesn't matter if we're repetitive, because this is the good stuff, and the good stuff is, you know, it's said many ways, and but it comes back to the same old, which is, like you said, and I did say this, that in order to discover, you have to go into a new place or a new land. I mean, that's what an explorer would never have discovered, new land, unless they moved out into a new place. And but the interesting thing is, and this is what I'm getting from what you're saying, is and I've already known this, but it's like coming in, you know, even more relevant and more
right
clear
on.
Is that in the discovery, we move into the new place of discovery, but we don't have control of what we will discover.
That's
within
right.
ourselves.
Right on.
Therefore, what you know, you're on target when you're not biasing what you're discovering, because it's impossible. You can't do that. That's not organic. That's not self-discovery. Self-discovery is being the explorer and the discoverer, but you're not just going, no, I just want the good discoveries of the really nice, because the discomfort or the edge that I, you know, that I was even hearing, like the reason I didn't even comment on it is because it's non-commentable. It was like a part of your process. I could hear it, but it was like the place that you were in where the bias wasn't. That's
right.
What you discovered. And, you know, one of the things people, and, you know, make note of it for myself, for anyone listening, is that this isn't about selective discovery. You know, that's not
brilliant.
True discovery.
Right.
So when you come across these places where you're like, ugh, and discovering what our addictions are, that kind of, you know, that's part of discovery too. Like, you know, that's just you coming in deeper and more knowledgeable about yourself. And it is your voice. That's what's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is your voice that's saying, look at that. When there's times when you could really get in there and be quiet and, you know, distill, and what you do is, Goldie, is you pick up the phone and you avoid that depth thing.
Exactly.
So then you knew that about yourself, and that's a discovery of yourself. So this is great. I mean, you know, this goes for all of us. This, what do we do? And that's part of the place you went into, where you really truly discovered very significantly that this is a pattern of calling to distract yourself from the place of, you know, distilling or...
Well, right, deep integration.
Deep integration,
through
right.
silence and being just with me, even though I will admit, Dakini is amazing.
Sure, and she's an organic piece of your process. And,
absolutely.
You know, this is, I mean, I guess in some way, you know, obvious would be that this is almost like the, you know, the vision quest within everyday life. I mean, because you start
right.
to understand what a vision quest is. It's, you know, people deliberately did vision quests, including myself, to self-discover, and yet then you start realizing at this time that we're in now, and personally, that there's a, almost this continuous vision quest going on, where you're in constant discovery, and you know, and it's not always comfortable, and it's not supposed to be. So,
right.
Like to me, that you know, I use this word juvenile, because, and I mean that there's a, you know, to think that that's all we're coming across is I only want the good stuff. You know, it's just, it's unrealistic, and
it
it's
is.
Half the story. And it's half the story, like you said. It's not, you know, as you go up, you go down. So as you go vertical, you go horizontal. As you go in, you go out. You know, it's
exactly.
It's so you know, it's a funny thing when I listen to you. It's like your language is describing a true organic transmutation, transformation, and what's even the most subtle things, like I noticed the pictures you posted tonight, they're so beautiful, but there's such a blue quality in them, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, the blue energy, and then
oh wow,
I, yeah and then I posted, if you look at what I posted on my it's like the big picture behind on Facebook, it was the sky that captured me at the park on Saturday, which is, it's all blue.
Yeah.
A beautiful blue color with just this little branches that are very just delicate. So, you know, so what's that blue about? I don't know, but, you know, there's something there with the blue.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, my friend David and I, we feel like there's a blue, we have a blue connection. There's the color blue.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, I'm totally, you know, I don't have to figure it out.
Well,
but
I'll
you
tell
just,
you, though.
You just notice.
Daniel Jacob commented when I wrote about the dream, or, and
yeah.
I don't want to call it a dream, the experience that night. I'll find it. And he wrote... he wrote an article about the blue energy being what he calls meta communication. It's
well, that
deeper,
makes sense.
And yeah, and he said the Indigo Kids, and it's literally a new way of communicating. From
that makes sense to me.
Totally.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say one more thing. This is a discovery of mine with humor, but it fits in perfectly what you said about non-instant gratification. I was recently in Ireland, and I read to these kids at the Dingle Library, which is this little town on the ocean in sticking out in the Atlantic, and it's beautiful. And so I was on their Facebook, and someone posted a picture of a book that was taken out of the Dingle Library in 1959 and was just returned last year. and I said, oh, some things take longer than you think.
and it
cracked me up. I was like, is that hysterical? Someone took a book out in 1959 and it just got returned in 2011. I'm like, I love that. I love that. It's just like so. It's so perfect, you know, about life and funny to me.
Well, and everything we're talking about, because it really is how this organic journey works.
Yeah.
But what's so amazing is, and I know this, you know, personally. The more I trust the truth that I speak of, the swifter I move through the experience. I mean, it because you know what, I can't emphasize enough that the friend of mine that I kept focusing on going, stop being a hypocrite. You can't help but laugh at these things once you get through them, and I'm not through them, but meaning I started the journey of, you know, everything that was triggering me about my friend was me.
Yeah.
And that is such power in that humility, because I'll tell you, I have seen it, you know, from here to Canada, people's pride really being the moat from which they don't it come into self. It stands around their whole being, and it keeps the ascension out.
Mm.
Humility is an amazing, again, it's one of those, you know, we don't really understand I'll speak for myself, I don't really understand the true power of humility, but I know every time I stand humble and I get the realization that, because it's not just about recognizing that I'm fired up about, you know, being a hypocrite, and I'm fired up about not, you know, about letting my addictions take hold of me. Noticing that that's half. What I really get fired up about is, okay, now I'm sitting and I'm doing the work. Now I'm not calling. I'm on blackout with my friend, and I'm not on blackout because they were a hypocrite. I'm on blackout because I can't serve my addiction. I must serve my soul if I want to get going into the next layer of my onion. And you know, it's so interesting. Just becoming aware of how everything is me. It's so amazing. The good, the bad, the ugly, the painful. And here's another thing that I've definitely noticed. Since I have taken on doing the work, I have an edginess about me, which Janine pointed that out. Because Janine is such a wonderful companion to do, you know, the work where you have to go underground, and because her ability to witness you in a neutral state, and it's not just her frequency, it's her verbal and her perception, you know, it really is such an all-encompassed experience, which is really what you need to go through it without any impendingness, you know, without, you know, if somebody's saying to you, you know, well, what a schmuck you are, and, you know, why are you being such a bitch today? It tends to be, and listen, and here's the crazy part, that's how I tend to be to people. You know, if I had to be my own teacher, boy, I'd be up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. But I do believe our soul brings us what we need, and my reference is that, I don't believe, let me rephrase that, I know. Because since I've been really, you know, this past couple of days, I'd say for the last 4 days, I have been not making phone calls. I've been sitting in my own space. My soul shows up with, like, it brought me to Penny Pierce's frequency, which, friends, I highly recommend. She did an audio book. It's $24. All about, she explains frequency. You know, I mean, she is like Deepak Chopra of frequency. She knows her shit. And see, for me, I gotta constantly feed the left brain when I'm going through the right brain side of moving through these grounds of sadness and mystery and confusion. And I swear my soul hooked me up with Penny. It zeroed me in a couple of times to listen to George Kavassalis's Our Journey Home, because I'm not making phone calls, but I definitely, you know, I still enjoy, you know, listening to things. I don't go completely silent. I mean, I do when I'm in the woods, and by golly, what I found this past couple of weeks, actually, but even in the last few days, even when I'm in the woods right now, my mind is still working. But I'm really clear that it's like, I guess the best way to put it is, I am clear of the voice of myself with a capital S and the voice of myself with a little S. And you know, because there's this balance act that I don't have to annihilate the little S self. I simply have to let the big S self Which, and here's the tricky part, kids. The big ass self is about is in the pain, is in the sadness, is in the dark. I know. You'd go, really? That's where the bad self is. It's like, no.
Yeah, but see, that's just a judgment. You know,
It's incorrect.
Right. That's a judgment. You know, that's not neutral. That's not. It's not precise. It's it's not truth.
Well,
it's
right. Let me just share with definitely. Robert Young said it this way. He goes, because we could also call it the ego. Whatever your term is. That's
right. Right.
Robert Young goes, listen, we need the brain. We need the brain because it's your brain that's going to let you know that everything you're going to do has to be illogical and counterintuitive. That's the brain's job, to tell you you're going to be illogical and counterintuitive. In other words, we have been conditioned to live upside down.
Yeah.
So in order to rebalance ourselves, well, we've got to go upside down from what we've been taught. And the brain, if the brain's telling you, you're crazy, well, right on. Okay. And if the brain tells you, this is where you got to know, if the brain says avoid the pain, don't listen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go upside down and go, I wrote it down, Janine's quote of discovery only happens when you enter it. It's like, I love that kind of truth because for me, it lubricates me. Lack of a better, I'm not scratching my elbows, down to the bone. It's like, I know I have to go through the pain because the pain is me. So I'm doing it. A big shout out to my friend, like I said, who helped me see that all that yelling and screaming I was doing was really, me going...
Yelling and screaming at yourself.
Yeah, going, let's, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want the journey of the ascension. And I stand here humbly going, I have been a hypocrite. I have been a hypocrite for like the last month. Because I was making phone calls and avoiding my stuff, and today I'm not, and it's so funny because me and Janine were talking, we do a radio show, so it's like, again, here's that upside downness. I can't exactly come on the radio show and jump up and down and celebrate that I'm feeling pain and sadness, and yet there is a celebration that I'm feeling pain and sadness.
It's not easy to describe, but you did a really good job, and so did Robert Young, about the brain, because it, really the telltale signs are when things don't feel right. They actually are.
Exactly.
It's almost like, it's really, that's when you're on, that's like, it is in the irrational, it is in the uncomfortable, it is when nothing, it's like, and it's where, that's where all the discovery and treasures are, and it is counterintuitive because we've been taught to stay away from that, and it's exactly where not to stay away from, and so, our discussions, they seem so important to me because these are the kinds of discussions I might have heard, years ago, and then again, and then every time I heard them, I was going, yes, yes, and you started to get it more and more of what that meant, and mostly it was through experience that when you experience it, it verifies it, it validates it, and you really do start sinking into this understanding of what Robert Young meant and what
Absolutely.
You meant by, and what I mean by the discovery is you can't bias the discovery. The discovery isn't selective. It's not, let's only discover the pastel colors. No, and So painting really isn't a true painting to me, when in fact the colors have been sort of pre-chosen. You can't do that. It just doesn't work. Mm. You know, it's like the painting has to come, the colors have to come as they come. It's not like, and I'm only going to use yellow and green, and it's like, yeah, right. You know, it's like, no, you're going to use the colors that the painting is asking for,
right.
Calling for,
right?
Or the landscape you just walked into is not your, you know, predetermined. I'm only using those colors. It's like, well, you know, sorry, but we're putting some brown and black, and we've got some purple and white, and you know, it's like, So, you know, these are the kinds of things that like along the way, and you know, I do want to give so much credit to Angela Sarian, who just, you know, recently, I just got an email from her that was beautiful, and it felt like a reconnecting, but not really, because, you know, our relationship is beautiful, but she reached out to me, and that woman, these conversations that Goldie and I have, these were her words that I was hearing, that my little ears were going, and you know, click 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 click, and believe me, these were the places where I was going, oh god, where am I going, you know, and you know, some of the things that she said, I went, ugh, because I knew they were so true, and I knew that's where my journey was.
What's her website? Give out her website.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought about that.
It's her name. It's AngelusArian.com, but I'll spell it. It's AngelusArian.com. AngelusArian.com.
Okay.
She's just a brilliant woman. And so, you know, these, when Goldie and I have talks, so often I'll think of her going, God, this is the stuff I was listening and hearing from her that was sometimes rock in my world, and then my heart was, you know, going, yay, and then I was going, oh no, you know, it was, you know, since 1991, I heard her voice, and it was all, the beginning of knowing her was all about the power of storytelling, but then it took off from there, and that was just an introduction. But this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you give yourself permission to discover all of you, not just the biased, selective you, you know, and the discomfort is a really good sign.
you know what's so interesting is, right, about the last month, I mean, I'm literally getting this awareness as we speak right now.
Right.
Have I not been saying to you when we hang up, when we do our call after the show, you know, like, God, Jay, I'm really bitching at the audience a lot. You know, like, why? And you were like, no, Goldie, you're good. You know, you can say these things, and I appreciate that you're saying that. But I'll be honest with you, tonight I don't have that angst in me. You know, come on, people, get on your asses and do this, because I'm doing it.
Right. You're experiencing it.
And the reason why I want to bring this up, because for everybody to notice, if you're really frustrated about there not being enough change in your life, I promise you what it is your soul going, do the change.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not yelling that tonight. You know, you really become, because when I'm in the change, that I really feel the softness, you know, that edge goes away, because to actually integrate my own darkness humbleizes me. I have such issues around my arrogance, and I know I do, and I'm grateful that I have incredibly powerful people around me that almost look at me and go, you know, well, that's just Goldie being Goldie. You know, like, for you, Janine, and Scott, and Alana, you know, it's like you guys kind of look at me and go, you know, okay, that, you know, Goldie's being Goldie. But from my own experience, it's like, No, I want to be as humble as you guys are, allowing me to be arrogant. I really have that desire to not push my weight around because of something I quote-unquote think makes me better than other people. You know, you don't ascend that way. And you know, I know, like, I've been reading a lot of people, I guess it's partly because it's January, so people tend to, you know, kind of talk about...
I just, when you know, it's so funny because what I just connected with is what I said about you, is that the last, you know, that the show and the vows was really because of your heart and genius. And you wouldn't receive that, but what you just said right now is your heart and genius, and it's like, there it is. And I of course I pick it up, and it's apparent to me.
Well, tonight I feel it though. I do.
Right.
Feel it
so
tonight.
So it's so perfect,
yeah.
Because you know, it, and all your processing is perfect, really. I mean,
as is everybody.
Right.
Because you know, timing is something that I truly feel this. When the soul goes, okay, we've had enough. It's like it literally drops in and goes, okay, you got clarity. You've got, you know, change will come in you know, in the twinkling of an eye, where you just simply go, I'm not going to choose the easy way anymore. You know, because the change from going from being upside down to right side up. And wait, I wrote this down. I thought this was kind of... humility is strength birthed from trusting courage.
Mm.
You know, and I get that I'm throwing in a ton of verses.
Say that again.
Humility is strength birthed from trusting courage.
Right. No,
moment by moment. This, you know, you don't go 10 years down and go, I'm going to be courageous, and 10 years down the road, you know, no, moment to moment, you play with courage, literally.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and that book analogy that really was, you know, taken out in 1959 and returned, but there's something to that, because you know, like, there's no prediction of, you know, when something will show up and you'll go,
exactly.
You know, it can be, I mean, it can be quicker, but it also can take enormous amounts of, you know, waiting and experiencing.
I just got a Nelson Mandela, Gandhi,
right.
The hurricane,
right.
the story of the boxer who was imprisoned, you know, it was a white-black thing.
Yeah,
it didn't happen overnight for them.
And you said that before, which is such an important thing about instant gratification. It doesn't really belong in the organic process. Experience it if you want. No big deal. It's, you know, everybody, it's fine. Make a choice. But instant gratification really isn't part of the organic transformation process. It just,
right.
You know,
it's part of the mind.
And right. That's, you know, have fun with it. But it's not part of the organic transformation
there
process.
There you go. Well said.
Right. And so, you know, and just even with the email from my dear friend Angelus, it was like I hadn't heard from her in like, it could have been a year and a half or two.
Yeah.
And there was this beautiful connection, and you know, it's just like, and I hadn't thought about it, but it's like, there it is, it just shows up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the space, letting something be, you know, it is amazing to me. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I mean, and when you live it organically, it so trumps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The pumping of my chest being out, going, I'm doing this. It's like, I mean, I love coming to you guys on my knees. I really do, because I can feel it.
Yeah.
And I want to feel all of life. I mean, I'm telling you, Janine feels on a level that if I'm lucky enough to get there in this lifetime, God bless. Because when I talk to her, and that's why she shares artistic analogies and metaphors, because poets share the subtle realms, you know, where, you know, awareness is a beautiful thing. It absolutely is, and it's part of a gift that I have. I have not, you know, wait a minute, I got to read an email I got. I got this email today. Hello, okay. Golden. Have you ever wondered why some people have the confidence and gut instincts to forecast good fortune or harness opportunities? Or why some people have wickedly accurate intuition and always seem to make the right choice? It turns out there is a science of purpose, and some people naturally sense the cycles and patterns that affect their life and the planet. Luckily, you don't have to be blessed at birth with such prowess.
Oh, dear. Goldie read that to me, and I was like, oh, God. Because I just had finished telling her that I had spoken to my mom yesterday morning, and, you know, something in her voice, I said, she's got to be seen by a doctor today. And that was yesterday.
And this is basically out of nowhere, friends. I mean, in the sense of she hasn't, you know, she doesn't have chronic disease or anything.
No, it was just one day she had a little cold and, you know, go, oh, okay. Next day I hear her voice and I'm like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I took her to the doctor and she ended up having pneumonia, and a significant pneumonia, and she's 85, but she's a healthy 85. But my
pneumonia needs to be attended. Yeah, to.
Right, and it was treated, but then she was seriously looking and seeming sick, but it was so fast. So my instincts were right, and you know, I stepped back and I went, wow, you know, good, you know, and we all were grateful, but it was a good call on my part.
And, an awesome call.
And as I'm telling Goldie the story, she goes, oh, just listen to this email I just got. And we both started laughing. It's like, for $9.99, you can have this instinct, too. It's
exactly.
Like,
exactly. Beware of those emails, my friends.
This is the book from Dingle Library. You know, you take it out in 1959 and it comes back. You know, it just doesn't, you can't buy this stuff. It just, you have to walk into that place of discovery and not be biased. Let it roll.
Yeah, no, truly. Well,
right.
And what I will tell you though is, you know, as I shamelessly promote Janine, that to have somebody as a guide to help you through the experiences of the acceptance of the darkness, the acceptance of the pain, that is absolutely, in my humble opinion, critical to actually doing the work. Because I'm telling you, 17 years of being awake, knowing Janine for the last two, I have easily made more strides towards my wholeness since Janine has come into my life than the other 15 years combined. And again, because I have a level of awareness, I could play with things. But I was still, my nervous system was still whacked in my relationship with Scott. And, you know, I still, I truly just was not ascending the way I know myself now to be ascending. And the depth, it's such a, there's a quality to my life because I'm feeling. I hope I'm expressing this.
Yeah, no, you are.
Okay,
you are. I mean, you know, I'm listening, and it's like, oh, there's all that good stuff. You know, the humility is just it is the key. I mean, I was just gonna find in this book that I wrote here. Wait, I just gotta find it. Okay, how perfect is this? This is in the part one, the book, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, but this is about a little rabbit who thinks that he can race a river goddess and win a river, but he's got such a good heart. And so he gets these words of wisdom from a poet rat named Robert Snow, but I just want to read it because it's so perfect.
Of course,
it's like,
please.
Okay, so Robert Snow is explaining to him about that a river really can't be won. It's it's a whole organic process, so to speak, okay? Mm. An opening to such a place of magic love and grace, there's no such thing as a race to find or win such a river. A heart that sings is the only key, a heart of courage and humility. On this matter, trust in me to find such a river. And it's really, the river is the river is self-discovery, and the river is, it can't be bought for $9.99. it's a heart of courage and humility, right. You know? And that's right. It's precisely what we're talking about. And, you know, it's right? I mean, you get that, don't you, Goldie?
No, of course. No. I was looking, I'm on Yawning Rabbit River. I want to post that. She posted that, right? Wasn't that?
No, this is, she posted, here, I'll read that too, because that's beautiful. See, okay, for Sean, the little rabbit thief, for him to move through to the new land that he needs to go to,
okay,
he must sing this song. And the song is, A River Runs From You to Me.
Wait a minute, you're going to sing it?
No. Well, no, I don't really have the tune right now. So,
okay.
I had to ask. No, but I do want to come up with one, by the way.
Indeed.
For Ireland, so I'll work on that, everybody. And you can hold me to it.
Right.
Okay. So, this is what Sean needs to sing. And
this is to the creator, right? This is
for him to move into a new place, which I guess, you know, would be the discovery place.
Okay.
And a poet, Robert Snow, is his kind of teacher here.
Okay.
And I was just going to say, Sean needs to sing it, but obviously I do too. But so I will. I'll figure out a tune for this.
Okay.
A river runs from you to me. This river runs for eternity. A silent promise never broken, of true love so sweetly spoken, a heart that beats for you and me, one pure heart for eternity. A world like ours is never broken, with my song like wings now open. Then that's like sort of the beautiful, you know, and it's all with humility, it's all with softness and grace, and
right.
So there, you know, and so Sean is really impatient at this point. He's like, I'm not a singer. I don't want to sing it. You know, I just got to go find the river goddess. And then, obviously, then Robert Snow lets him know that the only way to ever get to the place that you're wanting to go is a heart of courage and humility, and there's mm-hmm. no such thing as winning a river. So, and there's no such thing as, you know, hello, Goldie. Some of us were born with the, you know.
Save your seats. They're speaking about, you know, and you know, I do want to say that I have been to many of these types of seminars, and I worked with Almeen for 2 years. I fed the brain. I did. I fed it. I can just tell you from my personal experience. You know, there was a saying with Crimson Circle, Tobias once said, you won't get to know God through your brain. Now, we all know George Kavatsalis, and when I say that, the gods are clearly, you know, deceptive, and, you know, there's so much deception around that. But the essence of that statement is, you won't get to know your soul logically, going through your brain. It's not
right.
about rational, it's not about logic. It really is about the softer side of life. It's not about war. It's not about fighting. It's a, you know, it's pure acceptance, and the humility to essentially, you know, I guess, you know, there's sayings, you know, becoming like a child.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know, as a kid, I was such a I wasn't a fighter at all. I mean, I was such a lover of climbing trees and I enjoyed, because, like, one thing I told Janine, which was very interesting, the people that I'm attracted to that come into my inner circle, and I know this is going to sound arrogant, but it's I'm really not coming from that space, are all geniuses. And I know they're geniuses because I know myself to be a genius. But the reason why I say that is, okay, so who's the guy who cut off his ear?
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh was a genius. You know, genius doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Brad Pitt.
Where everything's going smoothly.
Exactly. Genius is often riddled, I mean, look at Carl Jung, often riddled with extreme pain. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I really do understand the character, the essence of character that is built from the pain of being genius. And now, and just so you know, I believe all of us are genius, but not everyone allows that.
Yeah, the discovery.
Yeah, that because it's such a, the world has cookie-cuttered us that, you know, you want to be successful, you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, they want us to all be in the way, you know, that they kind of mapped it out for us to be. So the genius is really about the authenticity, because we all have natural gifts, and I'm not saying that there aren't other people out there with gifts of communication. I mean, I think Janine's a communicator. She does it through art, where, you know, I do it through language. And not that Janine doesn't do it through language, but she clearly has a gift and a talent to paint, you know, where, you know, that there's genius in all of us. And
yeah.
And if you can tap into that, it's much easier to trust the humility when you're flowing from that part of yourself, because it's in that state of being, authentic, that the soul, like, it's almost like, you know, it just kind of zooms in like a white egret, you know, and goes, okay, now you're ready for some support, because now you're being authentic, and when your own self, your own higher self, comes in to support you. I see it all the time on Facebook. I wish I knew my purpose. You know, and I laugh going, you know, purpose is not about selling healing techniques or selling books. And I get it. My best friend's an author. It's still not her purpose.
Right, right.
And she knows that because we've discussed that. You know, and I wish her all the best with the book, but that's not her purpose.
No.
Her purpose is the message that's in the book, and living that message and expressing her energetics as that message. You know, and she's chosen a book. Some people might choose, you know, jewelry or you know, it, whatever. What you don't. It, truth is, you don't even have to necessarily make something to express it. I do recommend expressing it because it needs to come out like it's a. Part of the processing is that's why it's so interesting for me to have an addiction talking on the telephone, because when I keep myself in balance, speaking is my soulful process.
Right. That's true. The flip side of that is your gift.
Right.
But when
right.
you know, but you've got to, yeah, the balance is key, and the moments of quiet and going inward. When the compulsion is to make the phone call, that's right. But that is your gift.
So, you know, this is such a finesse. It's a game of finesse. The soul is such. But I'll tell you, when you can sense it and when you can trust it, it's a game changer. It simply allows you to stay on the path, even though it gets difficult. And, you know, ultimately, at some point, the goal is to birth ourselves into the fifth dimension, which is totally a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, I said to Janine, it was so interesting. I had kind of made it... a promise, not even a promise, because that's not, I made it like a goal that I wanted her, me and her to be more physically in the same space. And, you know, for the past month and a half, I've been like, you know, okay, I'm going to come see you, and okay, you're going to come see me. And, you know, it didn't work out. And today, as we were talking, it became so clear to me that was a misguided goal to have to need to be in physical space with Janine. Because if there was ever a lifetime where being in solitude holds clout, this is the lifetime where that is the truth. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm crying. It just becomes so clear. Oh, gee, my best friend, you know, lives 2 hours away, and it's not, you know, she shows me solitude as soul, not as punishment. You know, because that's the belief I'm flipping right now.
Wow.
Because it totally clicked to me that once I can appreciate being with myself, no one can ever punish me by saying, I'm leaving you.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
There is no such thing.
Right, yeah. Because once I love being with me. Okay, see you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, truly. I had to unplug.
That's so great.
I had to unplug because it was very much me. I was the whole, what's that, abandonment issue. Abandonment is all about being punished for being alone.
And it's also very painful.
Very painful.
I went through that with my end of my marriage. It was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once you're
unplugged.
Get that, it just doesn't have any of the trigger, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also such
or,
a beautiful...
Or what society's going, and what are your plans for your birthday? And I'm going, none. That's a really good story.
Exactly. I mean, I called Janine on her birthday. First of all, it wasn't even on Facebook. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? And you're like, well, hopefully nothing. And I was like... Wow, girl. I mean, I'm just, you know, like me, I had a party last year that, in all honesty, turned into just kind of a crazy kind of kooky bird experience. It was not the joy. And it's so funny because, you know, this year, actually, my birthday is on a Monday, so I will be sharing it with all of you guys.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What's the date again?
The 25th.
Oh, good. I'll be there. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. It's before you go. Yes. It's before you go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Indeed. And you know, but again, there's this alignment that, it's not about physically. You know, it's like there's a belief in my head. Well, you've got to be physical with somebody in order to call them a true friend. You know, and who says who? What kind of cockamamie bullshit is that?
Yeah.
Oh, we call that the Matrix. You know, meaning it's another clarity that, you know, I'm seeing in myself, and, you know, it's snowballing, and it's snowballing all from sitting with my stuff, not making those phone calls. It's not about not talking on the phone. Again, this is all has to do with, you have to understand your motive.
Mm-hmm.
Your motive, it's not, no action is inherently good or bad, right or wrong. It's the motive for which you're doing the action that you want to track. That, you know, in my humble opinion, that's where the juice of it is. Because, you know, it's so funny. Janine's energy, I told her today, I go, I wouldn't call Janine up to vent. I just wouldn't do that. Nothing in my body screams, call Janine when you want to escape the pain. It's like I have too much respect for her, and I'll be honest with you, it's not even a choice. The integrity of who she is simply doesn't attract me to her to have that. My addiction doesn't come out with Janine, because if there's nobody else to call, or what I'm doing now is consciously not calling, But when I was in the addiction, if there was nobody else to call, I wouldn't call Janine just to talk. I wouldn't. And that's not to say I don't call Janine often, but the motive, that's that whole tracking oneself and really understanding, letting the energy guide us as opposed to the mind kind of override everything and go, you know, get somebody on the phone. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. That's the subtle world. The subtle world really, it's so interesting. Two things I've noticed about life that I can't say, I don't have an explanation, but I trust it implicitly. And that is, everywhere I've ever lived since 2002, a skunk has lived under my house. And a skunk
really?
Is my totem. Yeah. Three different
wow.
places, in Bridgeport, in Buffalo, and here at my dad's house. And what's so interesting is, never once have me or any of my cats or anybody been sprayed. And I mean, there was one night where I opened the garage when I came home. You know, I have an automatic garage door opener, and she had like four babies.
Oh.
And they were crossing the path of the garage. So when I opened the door, one of them went into the garage, and I went, well. So I parked outside. I went in through the front door. I told my father, leave the garage door open so she can get the baby. And, you know, just give her overnight. Just leave it open all night. Just shut the light. I'm sure nobody's going to take anything. You know, just let it happen organically. And it did, you know. But,
yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the things. So, and again, that is one of my totem. The second thing is I've never had a fear that when Dakini was outside, a hawk would come, you know, and scoop her up as a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in Buffalo with Dakini. You know, Dakini's an outside cat. And I'm not saying, you know, she's, you know, traipsing everywhere. She pretty much stays close to the house. But, again, none of my cats have ever been scooped up by a hawk. And you go, okay, so why is that? And why is that? Because there is a universal connection between me and these animals that, as well, forget me, Dakini has a connection with the hawk that it just simply knows, you know, by presence, you know, there's a wisdom that it's like, well, that's just not part of the, that won't come to pass. That I just won't.
Right.
And, you know, again, I don't understand how these things work, but I trust them implicitly.
Right, because, well, they're experienced, and they're, I mean, you know, the skunk, that's an amazing synchronicity, just that in everywhere you've lived, you've had a skunk.
Yeah.
Live, and that's for the last, what is that, eight, like 11
2002.
Years?
2002, yeah, well, 10 years. 2002
well, yeah, to 2012.
Oh, we're 13. Okay, right. Duh, I was still in 2012.
Right, right. So,
okay, right,
yeah,
that's right.
That's pretty amazing because, you know, I mean, skunks are everywhere, but to have, you know, it's just, I never knew that. I'm finding that, I don't know, I find that interesting, and I think that's true. That it's just, whatever that resonating, you know, almost like what you said about calling me but not calling me is because there's no resonating with that addiction with me.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And I experience these kinds of things too, where you literally, you can't really explain it, but you trust it. You're experiencing it.
Exactly.
And it's a knowing, you know.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all you can say on it, really, you know. And,
well, and but it, what a beautiful thing to know. What,
right.
You know, there's a lot that, you know, we got to worry about on the journey to becoming whole. You know, everything that we can basically know and not worry about, put it in the plus column.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And you know what's cool? Because that literally is kind of, quote, working for you. Like, that is a supportive, knowing
yeah.
really is supporting you in your discovery and your processing and your trust. It's and that I feel that a lot, you know, where
Well, the blue hair
you know.
In with you.
Huh?
The blue hair in with you.
Yes. In fact, what day was that where he really vowed? That was last New Year's Eve, yeah. I was thinking about the heron so much, and I was going to write something on Facebook because I felt like, you know, really. And then I look out the window, and he's sitting there all day outside the house.
Wow.
And it's just so great. And,
yeah.
You know, and he even made it into the book.
Well, I mean, he is majestic. God bless him. I mean, boy.
Yes, I call him noble
royal. If he didn't, I think if he didn't, he would have come into your house for the next book.
Right. So, Jay, am I in the book or what?
You know, like, how close do I got to get to you to let you know I'm getting in the book?
No, it's so true. It's so true, because he was in the magic gown, and he kind of got edited out by the editor going,
oh,
I think,
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, and then next thing you know, and that this was not planned, but next thing you know, there's the heron, and he's in the story, and it's the right story. You know, so it's like, see how life is? I mean,
yeah.
I because really in the magic gown book that I wrote, I probably spent about 6 months adding, like, this whole more ending. And my editor, she didn't even know, you know, how to tell me this. She was waiting for me to tell me in here's physical. She said, you know, I've been waiting to tell you this in every meeting we're going to have, and we've not had it, so I'm just going to tell you. And I go, and she goes, I really think we should end your story here. And that meant like 6 months away. I go, fine. I go, that sounds good to me. I think you're right. And she goes, wow, really?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. And so the irony is next story, not even unpredictable that I would be writing a story with a man from Italy that I met in London, completely ever predicted, here's the heron, he's in the story. You know,
right.
So this is the part of life that, you know, you just go, isn't it amazing? But it's completely unbiased and unpredictable.
No control. That's the key.
No control. It's not selective.
Right.
And, you know, this is repetitive of me, but I have found that all the magic and all the stuff that is incredible comes from the unpredictable, the willingness to be uncomfortable, and it could take a really long time. You know, it may not, but there's no prediction. And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing to me when you let go of that control. And you can't force it. It just really has to come to you organically.
Well, and you know, because that is it. Because what I got this week was that, you know, I like once I wasn't making the calls, I literally could feel myself going, oh, how am I going to get through this?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, you're just going to take it one day at a time. And Janine once gave me advice that was so incredibly beautiful during another time that I was dancing with my darkness. She went, Goldie, if it's too much to take it one day at a time, take it 1 hour at a time.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Segment your time. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get through this hour. And when you give yourself that kind of micro support of your attention, your awareness, and truly your own self-love, that just for this hour I'm going to, you know, stick to my guns and not do the addiction,
right? Uncomfortable, it's okay.
Yeah.
And honestly, and you know, the voice that you could hear would be, this is how you know you're on point, because the uncomfortableness is telling you, that's why, like, I'll always say, we've been mistold or misinformed. Our bodies, our emotions are telling us where to go, and we're going, no,
right.
And that's been misinformation or misinterpretation or something.
Yes.
But I know now more than ever that discomfort is telling you you're going in the right place.
Right.
Because and our natural tendency from being incultured is to avoid that. And it's like, no, this is where all the magic stuff is, the good stuff, the treasure, yourself.
Yourself.
And, you know, it's funny when you said...
With a capital S.
Yeah, and when you said someone on Facebook said, I wish I knew my purpose, that's exactly, like, all that is for me, it would be where your purpose is probably where the discomfort is and where your avoidance is.
Absolutely. And
right,
not probably. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, so you're avoiding it, so you keep asking the outside world, and yet it's right there. You keep wanting to make the phone call, and it's like, no, don't make the call.
Well,
you know, and
right, because it seems so insurmountable. How can I not? And then this week, what I found is, you know, it was interesting because I spent more time at the Y, which I thought I would have spent more time in the woods. I did go to the woods, but again, there's that blue. I wanted to be in warm water. That was definitely calling to me, you know, and...
Yeah, and this is moment by moment, because, like, you thought you'd be in the woods, but guess what? You're in the water.
Right, there it is.
You know,
right.
And that's unpredictable. It's like, well, yeah, a good game plan, but different, you know?
Well, exactly. Like, and, you know, part of it was, you know, I belong to what they call a public bathhouse. You know, it sounds very Greek-like, but...
It does sound very Greek, yeah.
Simon was actually the one who gave me that term. Oh, you're in a public bathhouse. And I went, oh, how very Aphrodite of me. my figure was, okay, I'm going into darkness. You know, well, we're certainly not going to go public with this, you know, like... But, you know, there was, again, the... My soul has brought me into a space. Like, I saw a video somewhere. Who knows? I'm sorry, I can't quote my references or my resources because I watch so much stuff and I don't really tag per se. But anyways, I saw a video that said about water that if you were to put your hand in water, the water would immediately respond to your uniqueness, like instantly. It's like this super conductive, authentic. It has magical qualities. And like the first thing I thought when I was watching this was, you know, if water was contaminated, you know, this is the Dr. Emoto stuff. If water was contaminated, you know, by putting the word love around it, it made it, you know, it reconfigured itself. And it's not just about the word love. It's like my frequency, when I get into the water at the in the jacuzzi at the Y, literally brings a level of awareness and, you know, transition state that I'm doing to that water. That now granted, another person's going to get in and it's going to change into their frequency, but they're on some level they're mingling with my frequency too. My frequency is now in that water. It's in the structure and the DNA, as well as, you know, this is kind of interesting too, because the morning when I had the blue ring experience, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't go back to sleep. 5:30 in the morning, I decide I'm going to go to the Y, and this is actually before I decided to not make my phone calls. But I can tell you what's so interesting is my life leading up to my being aware that of my addiction. As you guys could probably tell just from the last few radio shows, I was still feeling anxious. I was feeling anxious because it was time for me to face that addiction, and I was still not doing that. So anyways, I went to the Y, and it's 5:30 in the morning. I mean, there's just not going to be a lot of people there. At least I hope there's not going to be a lot of people. You'd be surprised how many people are working out. It's so funny. They're all upstairs running and jumping on their little, you know, exercise stuff, and Goldie goes straight into the, you know, I go and sit in a steam room, I sit in a sauna, and I sit in a whirlpool. No workout, just straight to the good stuff. But when I went there that morning, I had an encounter with a woman who's anorexic. And it was really quite interesting because I had run into her before, and one of the things that I have noticed since the Blue Ring experience is my olfactory, which is my sense of smell, has been heightened. And when this woman walked by me, I could smell the stress in her being. And it was very interesting because the way the morning worked out, she went into the sauna, I went into the steam, and then I went into the jacuzzi. And normally what I do is steam, jacuzzi, sauna. And when I got out, she was in the jacuzzi, she was in the sauna, and I sat for a minute and went, you know, if you go into that sauna, it's going to be 170 degrees of her frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very small room heated to a very hot space. And I really sat with it for a minute and went, okay, well, you know, you've been diving into deep, dark stuff for, you know, past couple of weeks. You know, are you going in, Goldie? And I ran it, you know, my mind waited out, and inevitably I went, yeah, I am going to go in because, you know, my goal is to accept everything. It's all me. You know, I think it was a little arrogant, to be honest, on my part. But I can tell you I wasn't afraid of it. I could remember a day when I would say to myself, I used to protect myself with white light everywhere I went because, God bless it, those dark energies weren't going to get me. And here I was very consciously walking into a very small space with a very large, stressed-out energy. So I walked into the sauna, I put my towel down, I sat down, and within 7 seconds, I was going to puke.
Wow.
The word I used to Janine, it felt like death. It was very decrepit. Because you can't, at 170 degrees, you can't breathe through your nose. It'll burn your nose hair.
Yeah.
It wasn't about smelling. I was breathing through my mouth, but it was like when I took in like three breaths or two breaths, I was going to gag. I mean, and I went in my head, do not gag, this woman probably has enough on her plate. She really doesn't need you coming in there and gagging. And I just picked up my towel and I left, and I ended up taking a hot shower, and because I did remember feeling, okay, I really don't want her energy on me. But what I noted was, well, I went in. I mean, I noticed that I wasn't afraid to go in. I wasn't afraid that her energy could take over my energy.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I could not handle being in that heated, hot, small room with her. It really was repugnant to my experience. But that was a physical reaction. That was not a judgment. That was a physical reaction. The reason why I bring this up is one of the things that I got is that, you know, there's this level of awareness and sensitivity that I respect it, but I also recognize it's changing me. It's changing, because I bought a magnum of wine for New Year's Eve for me and to play with Scott, and it was like, oh, let's do like old times and get shit-faced. I had half a glass of wine and was asleep by 8 o'clock. I'm like, it's still out on the porch. I'm thinking maybe Alana will take it. The truth is, I'm not the same person. I don't do coke anymore, and not because coke controls me. I don't do coke because I wouldn't enjoy that buzz. To this day, I didn't even know it, but I don't drink anymore either. I really never liked the taste of alcohol, but I bought White Zinfandel. I mean, boy, you can't get much more candy water than that. And I want to be sober. I mean, I
and you're naturally just I noticed that in myself too, the changes where there's just this, you know, you're not, and it's funny because the awareness of the of making the phone calls just sort of, even for me, I'm listening to the timing of all this over the last month, 3 weeks, that you noticed your own, you know, was more apparent to you than to me, or, you know, even be you saying, oh, I was bitching to my, to the people listening, and I'm going, really? You know, and I didn't see
right.
that or hear that, but
right.
but I'm listening to your whole process, and then even down to the wine and the going into the sauna, and then at least the willingness to go in, and the old paradigm of I can't go in and I protect myself, but then you go in and then you realize I can't be in here, but you went in. But then even the discovery on such a different level, and then the following through of the not making the phone calls when you know being within yourself is more important, but and then also thinking, oh, the woods, but now you're in the water.
Right.
It's like I'm listening to your whole process going, you know, there's just this unfolding and timing that is exactly as it could be and should be,
right.
and there is no controlling or predicting it. And that's why there's a certain that's why we love sharing it, because there is an amazement to it, really. You know, it's like when I tell a story and they're so simple, you know, about getting an email from a friend who I hadn't heard from in a while, or just detecting my mother's, you know, oh, something's off, I got to take her. You know, these are simple things in life that we do, but there's an amazement to these noticings and these timings, and that I don't really think until this point, with everything you just said, that it's like all this would lead up to the discovery of not making a phone call and holding the uncomfortable tension and even getting through an hour rather than a day. I mean, those things are completely life-changing and transformational. They are.
Right on.
And it's not just the noticing of the phone call. It's everything that led up to it.
Right.
And it's including, you know, the woman in the sauna and the you know, just all of it. And you noticing yourself on the show, which I, you know, or you noticing you couldn't really feel what I said or my words, you know, all that was leading up. And it's like, I love that. Those kinds of things are what are interesting to me and awesome to me and worth talking about.
Right.
Of talking about.
And it's the subtle small changes
that
will show you you're in a different, how did I put it tonight? My bar, my standard of living space is in a different, it's in a different position.
Yeah.
I have, on some level, raised my own bar because of exactly the points that Janine just pointed out. And you know, because who was it? Was it Carolyn that said, don't wait for the big things. It's really an accumulation of all the small things in life. Somebody said that. Quote, you know, where we... You know, it's kind of like the whole, the opposite would be don't sweat the small stuff and it's all small stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we look for these, or we desire these huge transformations of ending a relationship, quitting a job, and I'm not saying that those aren't huge. They are. But it's this, you know, it's the small, daily, hourly steps that get us to the space where we're willing to quit our jobs because we trust the process, or we're willing to stick around in that relationship. Goldie's thing is running out of relationships, so sticking in it is a good part for me. You know, but it really is, you know, what is it? The something in the details, right? The beauty's in the details.
Yeah, well, they'll even say, that, which is even better, the devil's in the details.
Oh, right on! Right on. Yeah.
Which is even better.
It is even better. You know, I love it when, you know, when a good cliche comes together.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, go there.
Exactly, because that, you know what, if I had to sum it up, the if you've chosen to ascend, which, by the way, there's one other thing I wanted to mention today, that, you know, the fourth dimension is a level of awakening, but it is not the ascension that people are claiming it to be, because as long as there's healers, then there's sickness. And, you know, the fourth dimension is still very much expressed through the polarity of, there's wars in the fourth dimension, there's deception, you know, people consume, or beings consuming another being in order to gain power. And the reason why I say this is, see, I'm shooting for the fifth dimension. And the fifth dimension, you know, we don't, there's no eating, you know, the light, there's no lights. All light comes from within everything, and there's no mechanics, there's no trucks, and there's no tools, because everything is created literally from creation and intention, and, you know, there's no birthing, because there's no death. There's no death. It's like we're quasi-physical in the fifth dimension. And to get a, if you're interested in a more deeper perspective of the fifth dimension, I highly recommend George Gavassilis' work. But the reason why I'm sharing that is, you know, people with, you know, the claims of, you know, as long as you're looking for a healer, you're not at the space where there's still something outside of you that can get you to wholeness, and that's a deception. You know, the truth of this is, my soul purpose, my destiny, and my ascension process is all wrapped up in one thing: integrate myself back into me, and pick up the pieces, and be on your way to the fifth dimension. Sounds like a song. So,
you are, but
oh, wait a minute! One other thing, and I didn't read this. The waking up in the fourth dimension is waking up, but not into freedom. That was the point. Because the fourth dimension still very much has the deceptive elements going on, where the fifth dimension, you know, when people disagree in the fifth dimension, it's like, hey, I disagree, and it's like, yeah, all right, well. Want to go light up the woods?
Want to go
witness a supernova? You know, it's not, you know, lords, you know, and people playing gods, and, you know, all sorts of this, you know, cockamamie stuff. So freedom was the thing people talk about, because I wrote on my Facebook this week, you know, freedom's a noun. Did you know that?
Yeah, where did I hear that?
I thought it was a verb.
I think you wrote that.
I did.
I think I've seen that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like once before, but I could be confused with another word. But freedom is a noun, not a verb?
Well, I've always known it as a verb, because, and I do understand it a little, because, see, if you know, freedom can't be given to you. Freedom has to be, you choose freedom. And if freedom, because I can remember for, I guess about 5 years ago, a big one of my intentions, like when I was in circles of people and, you know, doing, you know, the fourth dimensional thing, where I was, you know, hanging out with groups of healers and doing meditations and all that, my intention was often freedom, you know, to be free. And it just struck me that waking up to the fourth dimension, you know, everybody's like, oh, we're free. It's like,
no,
your cage just got bigger. You're not free, you know. If you were free, you wouldn't want to, you don't have a need to be.
It wouldn't even be an issue.
Well, it's what it is, right?
You
don't need the density. The density is, and you know, again, if that's where you're at, hey, you know, mazel tov. Because truth is, it's a timing thing. When freedom, you know, is kind of nipping at your butt, and you can't, and you want it more than anything, you'll get it, and you'll get it. Me and Janine have already stated this, and it's privately, and I'm going to state it here, and I know it's radical, but I'm going to say it anyways. There's only one way to ascend, and that is through the integration of your shadow side. I know, people are like, who the hell are you to say it's the only way?
Oh, I see. I was like, what's so radical about that?
Well,
it's
like, no, there's many ways to skin a cat. It's like, no.
Oh, I see.
You're going to have to do the integration work, which means you're going to have to sit with your own shit and take it back in and love it and integrate it. And until then, you play on the yellow brick road. And
yeah, well, you know, the from long time ago, I mean, from all the roots of any wisdom was the saying "Know thyself," and that was like if anyone had to say anything, which was at the basis of any self knowledge, it was "Know thyself." So basically, it that's exactly what it is.
Right.
It's like, you know, and there's no other way to. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, exactly. Cause
right,
and that's what it is.
And
right.
That's been being said for years. So the repetition continues, but it is the way. I mean,
it is.
I
mean, and the, you know, again, you know, we can travel down the yellow brick road, and there's no shame. First of all, no shame in any of this.
No, not meant to be. No.
Not at all. Because I laughed when I was thinking to myself that, you know, when I used to, you know, do the white light for protection and, you know, when I first awakened when I was 30, the only thing that I would read is feel-good material. I mean, that is, I was so beat up from, you know, my own childhood and not understanding it and not loving myself and the drugs, you know. I just came out of that storm so weathered that, you know, I mean, everything I read had to make me feel good or, you know, I just wasn't strong enough at that point.
Right. Well, you really did need that, you know.
I
really did.
And therefore, everybody that, you know, is going through that, they need that.
Yeah.
Because that is part, once we awaken, you know, initially it's like, boy, just tell me it's going to be okay. And it's like, I hear you. It's just that's not the end of the journey.
No.
You're going to re-enter the darkness, but this time you're going to re-enter with strength. The strength and the courage to literally accept that darkness itself and to accept it to do its incredible alchemy, which is to actually lift you up out of the dimension that is so incredibly polarized and dense. You know, it's when you think about it, boy, isn't that just poetic?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, it just popped into my head the whole addiction thing for some reason. And when, because what you said, something you just said, and it was like, there's something about the addiction that you literally. And I'm not saying that all the addictions haven't sort of come our way in order for us to sort of learn more about ourselves, because eventually you can discover your addictions and say, okay, now I'm ready. I can see that they're, you know, I don't really need these addictions. But something about the addiction kind of is a way of giving away our power to you know, and I think that's why. Once you get it, that whole idea that, because I think the pain is about the giving away of your, or giving up of your own power, or the powerlessness, and I think that's almost where the tension and the torque and the discomfort comes in, and it's inevitable that when you finally discover that, that's what feels so awful, that you're literally losing your power over it. I think that if that was the jewel that could be discovered by what the addiction's about, and why it's so uncomfortable. That to me is what it is, because it seems almost like in most of our stories where we've surrendered and given up our power, or we think we have, that's where all the discomfort and sadness and pain comes in. You know, and because you said something to me on the phone today, which is, and I know the this issue came up and we were talking about it, but it just popped up while you were talking, and I don't even know why, but it was something about how we, you know, even that person on Facebook, because it's sticking with me, I wish I knew my purpose. It's like, that sounds so powerlessness to me. Right. It sounds like, wait a minute, that's giving away your power, not to, you know what I mean? Like, right. Like that you not know your purpose. There's something there.
Well, what it is, they're not feeling it. Because the mind doesn't know the soul's purpose. Like we said, you can't get to God through your mind.
Right, and there's something uncomfortable about that, and that's where the discovery is, in the uncomfortableness.
Right.
Because, and that's that whole, you know, it's so funny, because when I did that work with Patrick O'Neill last year, and it was all about the heart, I said to him, I'm so surprised that actually what came up is, like, my own power. And, you know, he even looked at me like, what? You know, and remember, and then I called you from the airport, and you were just coming off your party. You were just coming off your birthday party thing, and I was, like, still in some sort of drum trance. It was so funny. Yeah. but the whole issue around power came up for me, and it was just like, there, you know, it's a really good place to sort of, you know, we don't have time tonight, but, you know, it does lead you somewhere when you start talking about this stuff.
Oh,
you know, this,
yeah. definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, again, when you know that it's your journey, when you can't shake it, you know, like...
No.
That, you know, because I'll be honest with you, I don't think without my soul on some level going, okay, this is your lifetime, you're waking up, and you're not just waking up, you're getting the hell out of Dodge. Because if it wasn't my journey, I have adamantly tried to get the hell off this journey several times in my life. You know, I wanted to be married and have kids. I live in Fairfield County. I wanted to buy purses. Okay, I really have never wanted to buy purses. but I did want to do, you know, I wanted to play house very, very much with a child and or children. And, you know, I tend to find that my journey is really about, okay, you get to play house for about, all right, 3 days. Now go be by yourself, because
right.
You can't take it anymore. And, you know,
right.
It's so dysfunctional from, quote, unquote, the vision I had in my head of, you know, the white picket fence, you know, the man who's going to go to work and come home and, you know, I'll cook dinner and, you know, I mean, I'm 47. I just learned how to cook, I'd say, 6 months ago. I mean, other than SpaghettiOs and cereal.
Right.
You know, where...
Right.
You know, and it's just so... It's very interesting. But again, I really am very clear that the journey I'm on is, it's not for my little self. My little self does not make these choices. My little self fights the choices, but inevitably I have, through doing the integrative work, my big self now has enough momentum that it literally goes, all right, little self, we're going to let you talk, but you're not in charge of actions. You're not in charge
right.
of the body. The body is now under the influence of the capital S self. And, you know, when my capital S self said, okay, you're not making phone calls anymore. You know, like, get over yourself. And here I am standing around, you know, with naked women at the YMCA. I just wouldn't have ever thought. You guys have been truly, I appreciate it. Richard Copeland? Wait, Richard Copeland posted on my wall that he enjoyed I love it when a good cliche comes together. I'm really appreciative that you're listening, Richard. I enjoy your post, and I like that you're sharing this time with us.
Thank you.
I also want to thank Susan and Art. I don't know if I thanked you guys on the New Year's Eve special, and I deeply apologize for not recognizing you guys if I didn't. I love you both. And, you know, all of the listeners, we really, really appreciate your listening. And inevitably, we'd love for you guys to listen live and actually, you know, call in and, you know, share and be part of the audience. I said I would make that announcement today, but it didn't seem to work out that way. In divinity. I mean, it was, it is what it is. But me and Janine,
we ended up in the water instead of the woods.
Exactly. Tonight was amazing, though. So
it was.
I feel like, you know, I'm back on my A game. Simply that I'm not yelling at you guys anymore. I'm so grateful not to be yelling anymore. So thank you everyone for putting up with me as Janine puts up with me during these these times of my ascension process. I really I deeply appreciate it. I really do. So Janine, can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure, thank you. Let's see, I have a website, jlkimmel.com, and that's KIMMEL.com. And I also am on Facebook, Janine L. Kimmel, I think, yeah. And I have a book, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, which is out and I think is really special. And so you can find that on my website as well. So thank you, Goldie. This was great. And, yeah, I hope people call in, share an intention, a vow, or a process, or, you know.
Yes.
And as you can see, it really does help amplify the process, which is great.
Exactly.
As Angela Sarian says, once you're witnessed, you can't go back. And I think that's a really good thing. I highly recommend it.
Yes. And any show, it doesn't have to be New Year's Eve.
No, any show, right.
Every show, any show. And if you call in and go, listen, I'd like to make an intention, me and Janine will stop our processing, what we're sharing, and the floor and the stage is yours. So
right.
That's an open invitation to every single show we do. And deep felt, heartfelt invitation. So
yes.
Okay, so for now, Monday nights, 8 o'clock, Mystical
Sounds
Mother
good.
Earth show. Yeah, I don't have any another reality shows planned, but now that this has shifted, who knows? You know, I just knew I couldn't do shows, you know, being bitchy. Just wasn't going to work. So it's all good. I appreciate everybody for listening. I love you, Janine. You just
love
rocked
you,
my
Goldie.
World. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you guys next Monday.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another
No, wrong outro. Sorry. Okay.
I love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
fun together.
We have a laugh, we'll sing our songs. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.